All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, that was Adam Amin on Fox calling Ronnie Bell's drop, which, by the way, when we say Brock Purdy played well enough to win, that throw he put down the right sideline to Ronnie Bell, he put it in a perfect spot. A couple of defenders around Ronnie Bell, but they did not get their hand in there to break that ball up. That was a clean drop by Ronnie Bell. Would have given the 49ers the ball with like a minute, a little less on the clock in regulation in a tie game. All the Niners would have had to have done is run the ball a couple of times, get the clock all the way down to like 5, 4, 3 seconds, kick a field goal, walk out of SoFi winners, but Ronnie Bell drops it. The Niners don't convert on third down. They punt the ball away, allow a nice return to near midfield. Matthew Stafford picks up some yards here and there. Kyron Williams, a couple of runs. They kick essentially a walk-off field goal, and the Rams win 27-24. When we say there's a number of moments you can point to that lost the Niners this game, one of the ones that stuck in my mind is that Ronnie Bell drop, but it's unfortunate because he's not going to be on the field if you're fully healthy and you have Deebo Samuel available to you. You have Christian McCaffrey available to you. Ronnie Bell's not seeing the field nearly ever, especially not in a do-or-die situation in the fourth quarter. But guys, that is a moment in time and a play that kind of encapsulates the 49ers' struggles, because it's what looks like a failed draft pick making a terrible mistake in the biggest moment. And that has been an issue for the 49ers. Some of those draft picks on the offensive side of the football haven't quite panned out, and that one cost the Niners big time today. That drop, if everything else that went wrong, if that one thing just goes right, we're at the very least talking about a Niner win. Still an ugly win, and still a ton of problems, but you'd be talking about a win.
Sure. And that's where the last caller before we went to the break was talking about Shanahan's clock management, which is always a little bit of a problem.
Yeah,
he's just not—he's not a good in-game management coach for sure. But at the same time, Jordan Mason had 4 carries for 13 yards in the fourth quarter, and so I understand in that spot. So on first down, on that drive, the 49ers go Brock Purdy scramble for 4 yards, pass to Brandon Ayuk for 9. That's a first down. They're at their own 43. Then they go so clock's running. They go pass on first down to Ayuk, incomplete. So the clock stopped. That's where you go, okay, first down, maybe you try and run it. But then second down, they throw the pass, they pass it again, and this is where I have a hard time going, okay, you want to keep the clock running for sure, but also you need yards. They're only at their own 43.
Yeah, are you playing to win, or are you playing to go to overtime?
Right, and you're not playing for a long field goal. So on second and 10, and you have, at this point, they had one timeout left.
And a little more than a minute on the clock.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you can run it there and burn a bunch of clock, but that's not necessarily conducive to getting in deep field goal range.
Seems like if you did that, you ran it on second and 10 and killed 40 more seconds. Mm-hmm. Seems to me that you're playing a little bit more for overtime. You're playing not to lose. And I feel like one of the major points against Shanahan is sometimes you feel like he's playing not to lose versus mm-hmm. trying to win. Throwing it on first and second down, you're playing to win. At least you have that going for you. It didn't work, but...
And the play in this Ronnie Bell play that we're kind of circling right now, because this is just... There are so many, and people have been calling in and saying, like, oh, you guys are being too nice. Like, sorry? I feel like we're dragging the 49ers for an hour and a half so far. But anyways, there are so many more issues with this team and with this game and with this loss, for sure. But this Ronnie Bell play just so sticks out to me because... If you're going to go, well, clock management was a problem. Well, it wouldn't have been if this play call, which worked, quarterback executed, receiver was in the right spot and just didn't hold on. If he catches that, Niners are in easier field goal range.
The Rams have one timeout left.
Rams have one timeout. They've probably taken the timeout at that point because the Niners are walking up to the line. They're going to burn a ton of clock. Then you probably see the Niners start handing it off a ton. At some point, I get that you want to harp on the coaching, and I think you can nitpick there whether they should have run on first down or whatever. But at the same time, it wasn't like they were close to field goal range, and they just needed to get there. They needed to get deeper into Rams territory. They needed to get down into the red zone. They would have been close to the red zone if Ronnie Bell catches that ball.
That first down pass was on their own 43-yard line.
Yeah.
So 7 yards shy of midfield.
Yeah, so it was Ronnie Bell's 31 yards down the field when he drops that ball. So they're, I'm bad at this math. So it's 7 to the 50, you got 24, so they're at the 26. I mean,
but that's a 42-yard, 43-yard field goal attempt?
I think Jake Moody's drilling that.
Probably.
So I don't know, man.
Fingers crossed.
There are so many things that went wrong today, for sure, on both sides of the ball. But when you're going back through and you're rewatching that game, that's the play that sticks out to me more than anything else. More than the missed field goal, more than the fake punt. More than the bad punt coverage, which also sticks out. It's like, man, dude, if he holds on to that football, the conversation about this game is so much different.
In my notes I have here, when the Rams scored before halftime, not great. That worries me. They can double up on you. San Francisco fumbles the football. It seems like things are going to go haywire. They might tie this game up or come within four. San Francisco escapes. No one scores. They go to halftime. Okay, whew, you know, wipe the sweat off. We're okay. San Francisco's defense comes out, 3 and out of the Rams. Great. 3rd and 5, Jair Brown makes the tackle, knocks the ball out of Colby Parkinson's hands. The offense drives all the way down the field, starting at their own 9-yard line. Purdy gets Jennings his 3rd touchdown of the game, and you're like, great, we're ahead by 2 touchdowns, 21-7. That's a statement drive by San Francisco.
Yep.
The Rams are not going to get momentum off us, and we're going to win this game. Put this game away early. Put them so far down, they're not going to find a way back up. They continue to climb their way back into the game. When every opportunity San Francisco has to end the game, give them that backbreaker drive to put the Rams out of their own misery, they somehow give the Rams the ball back, whether it's a fake punt, whether it's a great punt return, whether it's a missed field goal. San Francisco had ample opportunities to put this game away. One of the biggest ones, obviously, the Ronnie Bell play where he should have caught the football. But it isn't even just that one. That is maybe the most clutch one because that was the last one they had for sure. And that would have put the game away. But they had so many plays in this game where had they had that first down, had they had that field goal, had they had that not blown punt coverage, they win this game by 10 points. They score more points. They at least escape with the win. And when you're 1-2 and you're sitting back like, how did we lose this game? And you go, well, everything went wrong. That's not a good place to be for a team that's supposed to be 3-0 right now.
No.
It's a really bad spot to be in.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I think what you're talking about, Sterling, after the Niners scored the Juwan Jennings 31-yard touchdown, his 3rd of the game, they go up by 2 scores in the 3rd quarter. Rams get the ball back, and they kind of have... This is the way the Rams had to deal with it. It kind of had to be slow and methodical. They'll take 4 yards here, 7 yards there. There weren't a lot of big plays down the field. Of course, they had the big bomb down the right sideline at the end of regulation to get into the end zone and tie the game. We know about that one. That was a backbreaker. By the way, that was Tutu Atwell running right past Mooney Ward. We can't let Mooney Ward off the hook for his performance in this game. I don't know if he got pulled because there was a stretch of this game where he wasn't in. The Niners were playing dime, or they're playing nickel, and he wasn't out there. It was Yadam. Lenore and Renardo Green, and that was on that drive where the Rams got their second touchdown of the game, the one in the third quarter to make it a 7-point game. But even before that, it was the 48-yard pass interference by Isaac Yiadom. And that was a moment. Yiadom matched up with Tutu Atwell, who at this point for the Rams, Atwell is like their speedster down the field. I don't blame you if you don't know anything about these Rams receivers, because generally only one or two of these guys would be playing if everybody was healthy. But Tutu Atwell is their speedster. They match him up with Yiadom on the left side. He honestly doesn't really get much of a release on Yiadom. Yadam's with him kind of step for step, but he just never turns around to see the football and just gives Tutu Atwell a bear hug as the ball is coming in. An easy PI, 48-yard penalty, puts the Rams in scoring position. And then what happens? Mooney Ward not on the field. I don't know if it was a minor injury because he came back in, or if he got pulled because they didn't like something that they were seeing. I don't know. But it's Renardo Green, the rookie third rounder from Florida State, who's in. And Renardo Green gets called for a penalty in the end zone. It gives the Rams a first and goal. They turned it into a touchdown. Those were a couple of back-breaking mistakes you made as well. That gave the Rams hope. If you stop them on that drive, you go back down, get a field goal, get a touchdown, go up by two scores, go up by three scores, this game's probably over. But there were a couple of bad mistakes by the defense on that one, which I think is exactly what you guys are talking about. The defense being the major issue for this team through three games, that was just one or two examples of a couple of really, really bad penalties where, in the Adams case, he was with Tutu Atwell step for step. He just never turned around to see the football.
Just tackled him for no reason.
Yeah.
Insane. I don't know if I'm sick of Isaac Yiadom yet, but it feels like he was in coverage on the three big Vikings conversions last week.
That last drive.
Yeah, on the last drive. He was in coverage on all three third down conversions. And then today, he gave up the big penalty and had another long completion where he was behind the receiver. I think it was Tyler Johnson, maybe. At some point, we've talked about linebacker, we've talked about the third cornerback. At some point, I do think that some kind of personnel move needs to be made, because whatever's happening schematically is just not working with this group.
But is it scheme or is it the players? Because you have to be put in the position to succeed, which maybe it is both. Maybe we're sitting back like, you can point fingers in every different direction. 11 guys play on defense and offense, you can point fingers at all of them. But what if it is the guys upstairs? Kyle, you said earlier, what if they pick the wrong guy? I get Bill Belichick, they tried to lure him over, tried to trade for Steve Spagnuolo. Obviously that was never going to happen. But you go and get Nick Sorensen because you want to get back to your identity on defense. You're so angry at Steve Wilks for calling a zero blitz against the Vikings and being in the booth, and all of that is justifiable for sure. You wait one day after the Super Bowl and say, get out of town, see ya, and he's not even employed right now. That's probably a reason for that, because he wasn't good for us last year, wasn't good for the defense last year. But you bring a guy who's already in the building. Fred Warner calls his week one game plan. It was flawless. Well, week one was flawless. What is this? It looks like two giant turds I'm staring at. I'm like, I don't want to stare at these giant turds. Get them out of here. It's stinky. It's smelly. Get it out of here. And you can't fire the guy, obviously, but something has to change, whether it is schematically or a personnel move, but it's not working. And unfortunately, it's so many things that aren't working where it's like, I ain't got enough fingers to point to everything that's wrong, which is a problem.
Yeah, 7 penalties for 111 yards by the Niners today. Now, again, a lot of those was that one 48-yard penalty by Isaac Yiadom, but 7 penalties for 111 yards. The Rams committed more penalties, but only 75 yards on those penalties. The Niners' penalties were big ones that helped the Rams time and time and time again, and even killed a couple of Niner drives. So much to be frustrated about if you're a Niner fan. They fall to the Rams 27-24. That was the score, and now the Niners 1-2 here in 2024.
I have two new things I'm frustrated about.
Oh.
Yeah, that we haven't gotten to
yet.
Can we talk about the fake punt real quick that the Rams executed on their third drive that led to their touchdown?
Six.
Yeah, 4th-and-6 fake punt. Where is it? Okay, 6:22 left in the second quarter. The Rams are about to punt.
14-0 at that point.
14-0 Niners. Looks like the Niners are going to get the ball back, and it cruise down. Rams fake punt. Goes for 7 yards, first down, direct snap to Ronnie Rivers, who is the up back, who's their backup running back. Kyle Shanahan, after the game, said they were expecting a fake punt in that spot.
What?
Like, you don't say that. That's worse. You see how that's worse? Don't say that out loud to anyone ever. Like, if that's the case, if you went, yo, they're going to fake punt. They're at the 50. It's 4th and 6. They've got nothing to lose. We think a fake punt is coming. And they still convert. Fire everyone involved with that. Punt everyone. No pun intended. Punt everyone away from whatever the hell that it was. Yeah, we thought it was coming. Oh, we expected that to come. Then stop it! Oh,
if you know a fake punt's coming, you should get them for -3 yards.
Easy work. Ball going the other way. Let's go.
Just line up in your goal line defense at that point, have no return man, and say, bring it.
Seriously, if you're just put your, yeah, have your defense on the field. If you're expecting a fake punt.
I have no idea why he'd be lying, but he has to be lying, right?
I don't know why he would lie.
Then he just threw Brian Schneider under the bus of like, this guy's incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing, which might be the case anyways, but you can't say that in a press conference and not expect every fan to say, then what are we doing if you know what's coming? He had nothing to stop that. You just sat there and said, let it happen.
Is it worse to know the fake punt is coming and not stop
yes.
it?
Yes.
Or in that spot to be so clueless that you're like, yeah, they're okay. We're getting the ball back. Oh, wait, a fake?
Honestly, the fake didn't surprise me that much. You know, it's Sean McVay.
Yeah.
You're 0-2 if you're the Rams. You're fighting for your life. You're down 3 offensive linemen. You're 2 all-pro wide receivers. If you win this game, you need some funky things to happen. And funky things happen when you call trick plays on special teams. You kind of figure that it might happen. So I don't necessarily blame Kyle Shanahan for thinking that it might happen. But if you think it's going to happen, you can't let it happen.
Stop it. Then don't let that thing happen anymore.
Oh, my God.
At least call a timeout and say, let's talk about this. It was like...
Yeah, that's worth a timeout. Yeah, no doubt. It's the end of the first half anyway.
Hey, guys, they're going to fake punt. Let's go out there and just so you know, they're going to fake it.
Oh, didn't stop it.
Okay, that's fine. Ridiculous.
No way.
The second thing that's frustrating...
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, there's a second thing. I was doing some math, not to brag. Did you know... that in the second half of this NFL football game, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy had more rushes than San Francisco 49ers running back Jordan Mason?
What a guy.
That's a real stat. 9 carries for Brock Purdy, 7 for Jordan Mason, who is second in the NFL in rushing yards into Sunday.
To at least be fair, I think all but... 2 of them were not designed runs for Brock. They were scrambles.
Right.
It more so is just call more runs to your running back as opposed to call fewer runs for your quarterback.
When your quarterback is in such disarray, or when your offense, I should say, because that makes it sound like I'm trying to drive. I thought, like I said, Brock Purdy was pretty good today.
When the protection is bad, when your receivers aren't getting open, that he is forced to run.
Right, when your quarterback isn't comfortable throwing the football to his pass catchers and is instead scrambling around trying to fight for his life, something different's got to... That can't happen.
Maybe hand the ball off.
Just a couple times, once or twice.
Oof. Like, what's the problem with that? Do you not trust Jordan Mason? What has he done to not show, hey, you can trust me, I'm the second leading rusher in football?
And this goes back to the caller, the first caller from earlier, who talked about Kyle Shanahan, you know, not necessarily leaning on athleticism and young guys and instead going with the guys he knows are going to do their... That's one of those spots where, okay, maybe if I'm sure Kyle Shanahan could sit me down with the all 22 and go, this is why I'm calling pass plays, because they're in this personnel and we know that when they're in this personnel, this guy can't cover and this guy can't do this, so we're going to put him in a bind like this. Okay, totally. But also the Rams are in that personnel because they're terrified of Jordan Mason.
So they're begging you to throw the ball.
Right. So get your behind your offensive line and try. Like, that's... So I get the logic and that Kyle Shanahan has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. I get that. But at the same time, that logic hasn't worked. Like, oh, they want us to pass, so we're going to pass. Like, okay, sometimes. But also there's times like this where Jordan Mason has 7 carries in the second half where give it to him in a spot where they're playing run. Let him go make a play. Let him be that guy. That's another frustration I have with Kyle Shanahan.
Didn't this exact same thing happen in the Super Bowl last year?
Probably.
Though they're all in the box, they want us to pass the football, and you pass, and you go with three and out, back-to-back-to-back drives. Yep. And you're like, we're losing now? I wonder what happened. It's like, Kyle, look, we are by no means smarter than Kyle Shanahan. He is by all intents and purposes, a genius. But sure, sometimes it's just like, you can just be the most boring head coach ever and just hammer that point home and run the football four times and call it a game and get out of there. You could ice this game today on two separate drives, and they didn't. And it's like, why?
Yeah. Kyle, during the break, you gave me a statistic. Niners under Kyle Shanahan when rushing, what, 30 or more times?
So I always do this. I do these kind of stats since 2019.
Mm-hmm. Okay, since 2019.
17 and 18 were weird.
Since they started being a good football team.
Since they started being good, they are now, they were entering today 35-2. When rushing 30-plus times in a game.
Now 35-3.
Now 35-3.
I vote to strike this one from the record because 10 of their, 34 carries were from the quarterback. So this isn't really 30 rushes.
Yikes. Yikes, man. Yeah, one of them at Dallas, week 15 of the 2020 season. And then week 1 of 2022, that rain game in Chicago.
Okay.
Those are the two losses going into
But generally, you run the ball a lot and you win. Some of that is chicken and the egg. Are you running because you're winning or are you winning because you run? It's probably somewhere in the middle between those two. But this one, I think your guys' point stands. I know they did technically run the ball 30 times. 19 for Jordan Mason, 10 for Brock Purdy, 5 for Isaac Garendo, 34 carries split between those three guys. But only 19 from your running back and 5 from your RB2, so only 24 carries from your two running backs. That doesn't feel like enough, especially in this game when you were up by two scores for a very, very long time.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are reasons
makes
for
it worse.
Here at the studio watching it with the great Lo Neal, one of the best fullbacks ever who should be in the Hall of Fame. How many times, guys, did he scream at the TV, run the damn ball?
The whole game, actually.
Run the game! Run the ball!
It was the whole game.
It was.
It was the entire game.
He could not make sense of it.
Nobody loves running the ball more than Lo Neal.
No doubt.
Also, nobody loves a Kyle Juszczyk combo block on the edge more than Lo Neal.
Lo's the best. He also bought us pizza. So shout out Lo Neal. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
And, yeah, he should.
Yes. It's an injustice. All right, let's go back out to the phones. We got a few more minutes here left in this segment. It's overtime on 95.7 The Game. A lot to be frustrated about, Niner fans. Let's go out to Dave, who's in San Antonio. Dave, what's up? You're on OT on 95.7 The Game. How you feeling, Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I think for me, it's just depressing. You know, the defense is going to get a lot of the blame. But for me, it's like all week it's just been, can Brock win without all of his weapons? And what did the dude do? He played phenomenal. 134 passer rating, 3 TDs. He played exceptional, did everything to do to win the game, and we got the L. And nobody's going to talk about it. And that's just frustrating to me. You know, everybody's blaming Bell. Yeah, the drop by Bell was massive. Like, that's inexcusable. That would have won the game. If Moody, who had already missed a field goal, would have then hit a game winner. But B.A.'s drop on 3rd and 4, nobody's talking about that. That drop on 3rd and 4 then led to the drive where the Rams scored on, where they had the fake punt and scored. But B.A.'s drop that hit him in the stomach on 3rd and 4 was massive.
Yep.
Like, it's just depressing to me that Purdy's not going to get any of the dues other than for us. That he should get. And all week, everybody was bashing. Can he win without weapons? Can he win without weapons? No quarterback can win without weapons. And Brock did it today with freaking Ronnie Bell out there, who dropped 3 passes, and the Niners dropped 7 passes. Like, he played phenomenal. And what was poetic to me was Ayuk dropped that final pitch on that last play of the game. And I'm just disappointed because I love Ayuk. And he's just been disappointing all year. I was hoping he'd have a great game tonight, and he didn't. And hats off to Jennings. The dude played amazing. Brock played amazing. You know, I love Mason, the way the dude runs. And, you know, the defense failed us, but we only gave up 27. We still should have won this game going away. I feel bad for Brock. The dude's going to have a hell of a year. And, you know, I feel for him. And so thanks for taking my call, guys. It's depressing. And I feel for Brock and Jennings, you know, for the game that they had today. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Dave. It was definitely Brock's best game of the year.
Without question.
No doubt. Not even close. And it's unfortunate that, I mean, this whole week, and I think this is what the caller was getting to, this whole week turned into a referendum on Brock. This is going to be the game that we find out. Can he do it without all pros all around him?
Yeah.
He looked pretty damn good. Now it turned into a loss, so I don't know where the conversation goes from here, but he looked pretty good.
Any Brock Purdy detractor, look, again, the negative tone for today's show, but let's give Brock some flowers. Any Brock Purdy detractor who uses this game... as the, like, see, he can't do it, knows nil ball, and they're a dunce. Flat out. No, Brock was great today. I was over the moon with how well Brock Purdy played. Because I did, I was one of the people going in going, hey, man, are we totally sure he can cook?
We were
going
to learn something one way or the other.
Yeah, right. And he cooked, bro.
And we learned that, yeah, he could do it.
I thought he was good. Was it perfect? Like, no, but it's also really hard when you're playing with a bunch of guys you don't usually play with. When you're just, your team's easier to defend. And the quarterback was like at the bottom of the list of things that were bad today. So to me, just to that caller, if you see anybody or hear anybody going like, yep, the Niners lost because Brock Purdy wasn't good enough, disregard that opinion. That's just silly.
Brock Purdy was phenomenal. He put them in positions to win over and over and over again.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times in my notes I have the words.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Holy and you know what after it. It was like, oh my goodness, Brock.
Shoot.
Sure. Heck, shoot, whatever else you want to say with an SH in there, fine.
The third and four at the end of the third, his scramble where he avoided the sack like three different times, used the pump fake twice to get around defenders, and then dove headlong, stretched his right hand out to get the first down. Like, what? That was straight out of the Patrick Mahomes playbook. Like, that was incredible what he did there.
Yep. There were so many highlight reel plays on Brock Purdy's resume today that... almost every Juwan Jennings throw was like, how'd you fit it into triple coverage over the safety, whatever it was, the scrambles. It was like, he's doing everything to keep this offense moving. Whereas everyone else is kind of just like, we're trying to pull the offense back.
Yeah. The Juwan Jennings mossing the Rams defender. And then back-to-back, he has the Moss grab, and then he has the sliding grab between three different Rams defenders. The dude has never played better. It's so, so sad that it had to come in this kind of game. The Niners lose, and they wasted an awesome Juwan Jennings game, a great Brock Purdy game, and they're now 1-2 on the year. 27-24 is the final score down in L.A. All right, we got to take a break. We got more of your calls to get to, and we have Kyle Shanahan's full press conference. Was Kyle Madsen lying to us? Did Kyle Shanahan really say that he knew the fake punt was coming? We will hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up next, as well as Overtime continues. It's Grandy, Madsen, Sterling with you. More on 95.7 The Game as OT continues next.
The same distance he hit from in the Super Bowl to set a short-lived record. Two-score game. Moody, it is no good!
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, that was a missed 55-yard field goal by Jake Moody, a big one in the fourth quarter. The Rams took advantage of that, scored a touchdown to tie the game. The one piece of good news is because the Rams scored that touchdown so quickly, the Niners had time left on the clock to try to go down and score themselves, but it ultimately turned into bad news because then the Niners didn't score and punted the ball back quickly enough that the Rams had time to cook and score to close regulation and win the game. I don't know, you know, you see oftentimes, you see it a lot in baseball games, and sometimes in basketball games, and certainly here and there in football, you see like the live win probability chart where it's like 99% Niners. This was hanging out consistently in like the Niners 75%+ zone for nearly the whole game, and then that missed field goal happened. That was the beginning of the climb towards the Rams. Then it was just steady over and over and over and over until they ultimately win at the end of regulation. The Niners, how about this, guys? The Niners scored on their first possession of the game. They scored a touchdown with 11 minutes and 12 seconds on the clock. So that means the game was tied for about 4 minutes to begin the game. Mm-hmm. The Rams then took a lead with 2 seconds left. The Niners trailed for 2 seconds in this football game, tied for four, led for the entire rest of the football game, but it was a game that they lost.
Gross. I hate that so much. That's so annoying.
So embarrassing. Embarrassing.
I have a new annoying thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I have another new thing that I'm annoyed by.
I don't know if I'm ready, but...
It breaks have just evolved into me just going through the play-by-play and just finding the plays that sucked.
It's a lot of them.
So here's one. I actually said this. You know what? I'm going to absorb some of the blame for the loss today.
Uh-oh.
Because I did something I never do.
What'd you do?
I said out loud, this is over.
You did. I remember that.
And I found the exact play that this happens. 2nd and 1, the Niners on LA's 46. Jordan Mason, who had just gone for 9 yards, goes off left tackle for 4 yards. Niners are cruising, clock winding down towards 4 minutes. They're going to get into field goal range. They'll kick a field goal with a little bit of time left, go up by 2 scores and ice this one. Outside handoff to Isaac Garendo. Holding on Kyle Juszczyk, which moves it back to a 1st and 20. And this is where you can start talking clock management with Kyle Shanahan, because you go to 1st and 20 at your own 48 now. So it wasn't like they were still in field goal range.
Yeah.
They have to now go get yards. So they go pass to Juwan Jennings for 5 yards. That's the play that I believe he had Brandon Ayuk open deep.
And it was the crazy Purdy scramble.
Yeah, and then he hits Juwan Jennings on the right side for 5 yards. Easy work. Next snap doesn't come until there's 3:11 left. They burnt almost a minute between that play and the next snap.
Part of it was because the play was 20 seconds long because Purdy ran back and forth like 8 different times.
Right. Insane. And then happens again. He hits Juwan Jennings to the LA 40 on 2nd and 15 for 7 yards. But Juwan Jennings goes out of bounds, which stops the clock. That left the 49ers in 3rd and 8. And again, this is where it's like, okay, yeah, you'd like to see them run and burn clock, but
you can't in that spot. And Purdy naturally drops back to pass. He ends up scrambling, getting 3 yards. And that was kind of it. So when we talk clock management, we talk play calling and this and that. It's like that you can go to that for sure in a couple of spots. But this all started with that holding call on Kyle Juszczyk. Because that's what put them behind the sticks at 1st and 20. That's what moved them way out of field goal range. Where now all of a sudden, oh my God, they got to pass just to get to a 55-yard field goal.
Like, put it this way. 1st and 20 after the holding happens. You're up by 7. There's 4 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
If Shanahan just went run, maybe you force the Rams to call a timeout, or maybe you punt the ball back to them with 2 minutes left, whatever the case was, however it happened. But if you just run, don't get the first down, Shanahan would be flamed for playing not to lose.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
No matter how this plays out, as long as the team doesn't get the first down, his play calling is going to be under the microscope. And it's just the reality of the situation, being a head coach in the NFL.
Sure.
So maybe it's less about, are you running? Are you passing? How are you making up for the hold? But it's bringing whatever the play call is, something that you don't need Brock Purdy to run for. Or maybe it's up to the offensive line to just block a little better for a play here or there. Like, there's I get everything that you're saying, but if you just flipped it the other way and it doesn't work out, he's being flamed for the exact opposite play call.
Absolutely.
You know, we can go through every single play of this game and point to everything that went wrong.
Let's
and it's
it.
A lot of things, unfortunately, late in the game. but I don't really care, because a game like this is inexcusable to lose. You had every reason to win this game. You walked in with the advantage. Yeah, you don't have your stars, whatever. You had plenty of stars left to win a game like this.
Yep.
You had a 14-point lead. Going into the fourth quarter, you had a lead. You had multiple third downs, whether it's play calling or drop passes. This losing a game like this, being 1-2 with this roster, can't happen. Shouldn't happen.
Nope.
And what you're trying to accomplish doesn't mean that they can't eventually get there. They can be 2-2 by next week, and we're all saying, wow, what a bounce-back win. This week should have been that bounce-back win. You looked bad against the Vikings. Brian Flores made Kyle Shanahan look like a B, C-tier coach. That's how great Brian Flores was for the Vikings last week. And they have bad personnel, very similar to the Rams, who are much worse, and they don't even have Brian Flores. You put up 24 points in this game, and a caller said, oh, they only gave up 27. 27 to this team?
That's terrible.
Too many These points. Rams? Like, you should have gave up 13
Honestly,
to this roster.
I would have been frustrated if they gave up 17, considering what their offense is.
And 27, losing a game like this in the fashion in which they lost, inexcusable. I get it's week 3, but you should have walked into this game saying, we're going to come in here and we're going to take it to the Rams nonstop, put up 30, 40 points. If the Cardinals can do it, why can't a team that was in the Super Bowl last year do it? Mm-hmm. I ain't asking for a 45, 50 points. Give me 33. Give me 27. You can't score 27 against one of the worst defenses in football? How? You have a near MVP quarterback, an all-pro receiver, a guy who got a larger chunk of money this year in Juwan Jennings having a career game, and you can't win? Why? You have the league's second-leading rusher, you can't win? Why? You had the game in your hands multiple times, and you continually let the Rams back in the game, and you lost, you choked, and that cannot happen with a roster like this when you want to win a Super Bowl. It can't happen. Inexcusable.
Yeah, absolutely. 888-957-9570. Paul in Pleasanton is up next. Paul, what's up? You're on overtime. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I mean, this game could have gone either way, but yeah, I mean, as Sterling was saying, they should have won this game by like double digits, right? You're talking about a underpowered, undermanned team, and if you're Super Bowl caliber, so this is definitely a big, you know, warning. I think there are two issues that I see in this game. First is if we can please put to rest this absurd notion that you don't need preseason. And now we have seen like second year in a row, you know, last year with Bosa. If you were planning on paying these guys, pay them up front, you know, get them in the preseason. I think you'll see issues with Ayuk and Williams for next few months. And that's not good, you know. The second issue is the defensive line. I mean, that was just bad, you know, play by them throughout the game. And I see, like, two issues with the defensive line. I want to get your thoughts on it. One is, you know, Shanahan seems to, like, want to build this by, like, you know, getting higher guns. You know, we have two expensive free agent signings. I was thinking, like, how many, like, free agent signing stars do you see on defensive line, right? People who, like, sign a contract and do well on their next gigs. I mean, this is a position that teams are not going to let go, you know, off their stars. And the one homegrown star we have, Bosa, he has this unique ability of not showing up in big, big moments here. Think of that last, you know, Rams, you know, that'll be a perfect time for him to show up. Compare him to Chris Jones and what he does, you know, in that last drive of 49ers in the Super Bowl here. So I see the defensive line as a problem for the rest of the season, and I see a problem with both Ayuk and Williams' performance.
Paul, I think you hit a number of key points there. I mean, the defense for me is problem number one in the defensive line specifically. You've got the best pass rusher opposite Bosa that you've had in Bosa's career, and you've got a lot of talent inside. I know you lost Armstead this past off season, and he's been good for you for a while. Wasn't necessarily super consistent for you last year, but the defensive line wasn't very good either. Javon Hargrave has had a fantastic career, has not been a very good Niner. Malik Collins maybe has been the better of the interior linemen so far this season. He was awesome week one against the Jets. Nick Bosa, we know what he's capable of, but it seems like he hasn't reached the level that he was a couple of years ago. Since then, whether that was the offseason last year and the contract situation, whatever it is, the bottom line, and it's why I agree with the call, the biggest issue for this team right now is the defense, and specifically guys on the defensive line. You have guys who just are not living up to the standards that they have set for themselves previously in their careers.
And this is the difficulty I have with Nick Bosa, because I thought he was pretty good today. He was in the backfield a lot. He was moving Stafford off of his spot. There were a couple times he got very close to a sack. I think he drew a holding call in there at some point. Nick Bosa is really good. But to that caller's point, what's the signature, like, dang, Nick Bosa took over that game moment?
It doesn't exist.
There's the Browns
game, Monday Night Football, his rookie season, the Panther game, 4 years ago.
Yeah, the Panthers game in his rookie season is the one that sticks out to me. He had the interception and I think he had three sacks. But yeah. Week seven of his rookie year.
Meanwhile, someone like T.J. Watt does it every single week.
Yeah, exactly. When's the? Oh my God, they just cannot block Nick Bosa. He is a terror. So, getting pressures is nice and moving the quarterback off his spot is nice, but 97th paid to get the quarterback on the ground. That's the bottom line. And I know there's more to football than that. I know that that's so, like, but at the same time, when you're looking at, hey, what are the ways that this defense can improve?
Yep.
It's like, well, 97 could put the quarterback on his back. That's a start.
Miles Garrett does it. T.J. Watt does it.
All the good ones do it.
Sometimes does it. Aiden Hutchinson does it.
Max Crosby
does it. Oof. It's like, and now Nick Bosa to me is in their tier of players, but like totally Kyle said, you know, what is that Nick Bosa game you point to and say, wow, Nick Bosa changed the trajectory of that game. Take a game like this. San Francisco's reeling. Defense can't find an answer to Matthew Stafford. The secondary can't cover backups. You need your star. Like, last week, Fred Warner, that was his game. They lost. Facts. That was his game by far.
Great call.
Nick Bosa, this year, and Nick, to me, again, played good, had a lot of pressures, was moving the pocket for sure. He's hoping other guys do their job to clean things up. I get that. But for a player who paycheck is usually reliant on the one box score stat, meaning a sack, we need you to have 18. We need you to have 20. We need you to have 15 this year, Nick. Mm-hmm. If other guys aren't going to pick up the slack, you got to do your job. Bill Belichick said that. Bill Walsh said that. Do your job. Other guys will fall in line eventually. And if they don't, they'll get cut. They'll get traded. They'll get benched. Today, a lot of guys didn't do their job. Nick Bosa did his for the most part. But someone's got to take over that game on defense. Warner can only do so much. That was last week. Where was Bosa? Mooney Ward. Lenore, you want to get paid? Take over a game for us. And he was good today, too, but someone's got to take over this game on defense.
Yeah, and when your standards are Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year, I'm up there in the echelon of the TJ Watts and the Michael Parsons and everyone of that category. When your team has a performance like this, and let's be real, guys, the Niners defense have had performances like this a lot recently, not just early this year, but a lot of the second half of last season where it felt like they were underperforming given their talent. And I know name value only goes so far. Maybe it's time we start grading this team based on how they're playing on the field and not what they were when they were playing their best football at some point in their career. But when you're having a game like this where you're not getting home to the quarterback, where they're getting 6 yards on the ground and they're just dinking dunking you and it's harder for you to get off the field, that's where you need your best player to step up and just make a play to change the game.
That's it.
It's what Fred Warner did last week, as you guys are talking about. I know ultimately it did not work out. If Fred Warner did not exist, the Niners would have lost to the Vikings by 21 points last week.
Yep.
You need your star to come up and change the game at some point. When the Rams are driving to try to go and tie the game near the end of the fourth quarter, that's when TJ Watt comes in and strip sack the quarterback from behind, gets the ball back, they kneel on it, they win. Like, you need that from Nick Bosa. It's unfair to say, Nick, you were good, we need you to be great every single time, every single game, but there are moments where you say, this is where you're paying. It's the same thing for Ayuk. Paying Ayuk $30 million. You got to do more. You're paying Nick Bosa, when he signed the contract, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
You're paying him that kind of money. He's got to step up in the bigger moments. And honestly, the last year and a half, he hasn't really done that.
And this is where the separation comes between Bosa and Ayuk for me. Like, Bosa, it's his job to go around the offensive tackle or guard, depending on what they're running.
It's like purely dependent on him, basically.
Right. He is going to go
1v1, maybe 1v2 once in a while.
For the most part, yeah. And, there's going to be stunts in games they run and blitzes and stuff where other players are going to have an impact. But it's him, if he beats his guy and gets to the quarterback, and get the quarterback on the ground. With Ayuk, like, at least sometimes he's open and the throw just doesn't go to him. I know he had a couple of drops today, and that's obviously his issue.
A lot more variables
but
there.
That's, right, but that's where those two things diverge for me, because I'm guessing there's people like, man, if you're going to call out Nick Bosa, if you're going to say he needs to make a play, then why isn't Brandon Ayuk making a play? I get it. The caller brought up that third down drop. That was huge, no doubt. Huge play in the game. He's got to be better. I never saw a good replay if Tre'Davious White got a hand in and knocked the ball out, or if that was just a flat-out drop. I didn't see.
I think Tre'Davious White was involved, and he got his arm in there, but it's still one I'm sure Ayuk could tell you he's got to come down with.
A $30 million receiver's got to make that play. Juwan Jennings made that similar play.
He made four plays tougher than that.
Yeah, right. So that's where those two things break off to me. Like, yeah, the Niners need more from Ayuk, but when it comes to the defensive side, they're not getting enough from Leonard Floyd. They're not getting enough from Javon Hargrave. Man, the second level, they're really struggling to cover in the second level. Like, 97's got to go make a freaking play, man.
Take it further than that, and you never want to bring up someone's money of what they're getting. It's not my money. Good for you for getting it. But what I can't have is Tre'Davious Ward, who on this roster has the highest base salary of $12.5 million, giving up a 53-yard bomb to Tutu Atwell with the game on the line.
When the one thing, you just can't let someone get past you.
I cannot count how many times in this game Stafford just said, screw it, I'm throwing it up somewhere. It'll be a DPI, it'll be a holding call. There was a point in this game, almost every single play I was like, they're going to go deep. It's San Francisco so many times, whether it's a deep crosser over the linebackers or just take a shot downfield on Devondre Campbell, Mooney Ward. This is Mooney Ward's contract year. You want to get brought back? You want to get paid big money?
Mm-hmm.
Through 3 weeks? I mean, my goodness, man, you're not going to be a top 10 corner when it's all said and done after this year. You can't get burnt by a fourth receiver when you know it's coming. When the Rams have to hit a deep ball, they get back in the game, and you just go, oops. What do you mean, oops? Every coach will tell you, no one likes a palms-up player. I don't know what happened. Not my fault. Oopsies. That can't happen. Put your head down and go, I got to get better next week. You got the Patriots. They ain't got no weapons. The Rams had no weapons. Things got to tighten up real quick. Yep. It's getting ugly.
Yeah. Ward has had a very, very bad beginning to the season, and you're right. You get beat by any Rams receiver today, it's bad, because they are all they're wide receiver threes at best, and generally speaking, if things were going well for the Rams, they wouldn't even be seeing the field, at least at this point, of the regular season.
I actually didn't think Ward was bad in week two, and he and Lenore after the game were talking about how, like, hey, other people got to show up ready to play. Like, and then you're going to say that and then come out today and get cooked in the biggest spot of the game?
There was also
you can't do that.
There was also kind of the awkward, and it almost was a throwback to the Steve Wilks throw under the bus comments by Shanahan. There was the Justin Jefferson 97-yard touchdown last week, mm-hmm. where he was matched up with George Odom with help from Jair Brown, and after the game, Mooney Ward was asked, do you like to be matched up with one guy, the star receiver? Do you want to travel with him? And he was like, yeah, you know, I mean, as the number one guy, you always want to be on the best guy, but that's just not how it was schemed up or whatever. Almost like already mm-hmm. after week two, you kind of have a little bit of players throwing the scheme, throwing coaches under the bus, mm-hmm. and how early that is the theme for this defense is not a good sign at all, but we do have to consider the fact that this is something that you brought up earlier, Sterling. Maybe the 49ers, maybe Kyle Shanahan for the second consecutive year are being led by defensive staff that maybe isn't quite cut out for it. As Steve Wilks said last year, I can honestly say I'm built for this. We can honestly say you were not built for this. Through 3 weeks, the early returns are maybe this defense isn't quite built for it either.
If you told me last year, even with Steve Wilks, that San Francisco gave up 27 points to a Rams team that was healthy, I would say probably not. This team was probably going to hold the Rams to 23 points, 24 points. That didn't happen today. Go back to Ryan's and Saleh's tenure. There was an emphasis on, we're going to give up 13 points, and that's going to be it. To a point where the defense is going to keep us in games when the offense can't answer. And through three games, albeit the offense has sputtered at some points, mainly against the Vikings especially, but through two of the three games so far, it's been a lot of the offense carrying the load for this roster. And today was all offense. There was really no defense once the second half happened. You need to have that almost that switch flipped in your brain of, okay, the defense has to then become who they once were. And maybe it takes time. Let's not forget Nick Sorensen, who could be the wrong guy, could be the right guy. His third ever game calling plays. Maybe come week 10, we're talking, oh my goodness, Nick Sorensen's dialing things up.
Sure.
But the thing is that if you continue to lose games, we're not talking come week 10. We're talking, oh my goodness, they are, exactly. They're 3-5, they're 3-6. What has 2024 become? And then everything else starts to get questioned. So you got to get the ship righted quickly. Because unfortunately in the NFL, you can sink really, really fast.
If you're looking for one positive out of the defense, guys, maybe you could say Talanoa Hufanga, who made his 2024 debut, and at least on first watch for me, didn't make any singular terrible mistake.
He was out there.
He was out there, which
running around.
I guess that's a positive in and of itself. But
yeah, being a tiger.
Hufanga made his debut, and there was a bad stuff all the way around. Not a lot of terrible stuff from Talanoa Hufanga, which is certainly good news. We do have to hit a quick break, but before we do go, I wanted to toss out this poll that our guy Carter has put on our YouTube page at 95.7 The Game. Niner fans, who are you most frustrated with following this brutal loss? Your options are Kyle Shanahan, Sorensen and the defense, Brandon Ayuk, or Ronnie Bell. Sorensen, the defense, number one with over 40% of the vote. Ronnie Bell, second with 33% of the vote. Kyle Shanahan, third with nearly 20% of the vote. And then Ayuk coming in a distant fourth with about 7% of the vote. So most Niner fans frustrated by the defense. Then the young receiver, Ronnie Bell, who made a couple of the drops. Then the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, followed by Brandon Ayuk. You can vote on that poll by visiting us on Twitter at 95.7 The Game. Okay, time for a break. Nathan, I see you on hold. We'll get to you. Also, we got to get to Kyle Shanahan, who addressed the media post game. That's coming up on the other side as well. The Niners fall to the Rams in LA 27-24 as they blow a 14-point lead in this one down in SoFi. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled
and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.